thinking big thoughts so you don't have
words
to.
Words of our president.
Here's John Williams.
March, you're fired. That's not his phrase anymore. It's not his touchstone phrase, but doggone it, March. Are you kidding me? 54 degrees? Did you see the story about 54 degrees? Details in moments. Hi, it's John Williams. How are you? We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 1 to 3 on weekdays, Saturdays, 10 to noon. On social media, look for this show. I'm WGN King John on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And remember, I host the Mincing Rascals podcast, judged last year, that is this year, to be the number one podcast in Chicago. Bunch of smart people like Steve Bertrand, your friend Eric Zorn and mine, and other folks from here and there, the Tribune and WGN Radio, sit around a table and talk about the news. Folks seem to like it. Best podcast in Chicago. It's the Mincing Rascals. Do listen to that. The last time we were above 54 degrees in Chicago was? Anyone? Bueller? Think about it. When was the last time it was warmer than 54 degrees?
It was freezing all October, so I'm going to go with September.
I think December was pretty warm, wasn't
it? October 31st.
Oh, really?
Halloween last year was the last time it was 54 degrees. We'll probably break that mark this week, Wednesday or Thursday.
Fine.
If we do, hooray. But if it goes that long or just a little bit longer, it'll be the first time since 1880 that we went this long without a 54 degree reading. What was the wind chill factor? 20 something, for crying out loud? There shouldn't even be a wind chill factor in March. Actually, wind chill factor, fine, but we really are due for, because you know how it is. You're right. You would think, oh, remember in December, yeah, we got to 60 that one crazy day. That happens all the time. Not this year. Not 2018, 2019, Jack. This winter has not been warm enough. It hasn't been crazy cold in November and December and January. We hit a real bad patch there, but by and large, I'm going to remember this winter as not being insanely cold, but as unrelenting.
Well, the weird part of it is it's like Sharon said, it's like a layer cake or lasagna because we've had so much rain that froze. Like our front yard, you know, it's been pretty warm the last few days.
Yeah.
Is still snow covered because of it, a layer of ice over the snow.
Yeah. It's been a little bit like that.
It's been a lot like that.
Daylight savings time at least happened over the weekend. That doesn't make it warmer. It doesn't really even get you more sunlight, but we live our lives differently now, and I am a big advocate. Donald Trump tweeted, "More daylight savings time is okay with me," and I'm with him. I think we should do this every 6-8 weeks. I don't know what
just
that means.
Keep moving the clock.
Yeah, just whatever.
Right.
It doesn't change anything about the sun and the stars. It just means we live our lives differently. We've decided that 6 o'clock will now be 7 o'clock, and hey, look how light it is this late. And I can't tell you the mood picker-upper that was for Brenda and me over the weekend.
Yeah, but this, so I said this earlier on Bill and Wendy's show. There was a piece on it over the weekend. The downside is if you do it permanently, then it's darker for much longer in the mornings in winter, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like they said in some parts of the country, 8:30, 9 o'clock before there'd be sunrise.
Yeah.
That would change the way we live our lives, too.
Well, you can tell that I don't have to get up real early for my work. Or that I don't have kids going off to school.
Well, people go to school at 8:30 or 9. That's not very early either. But
yeah, but I think that by and large. Is this also true, Steve? The closer you live to the equator, the less important this is, the more moot this becomes. That if you live on the equator, it's every day of the year 12 hours of daylight and 12 hours of dark.
I don't know if it's 12 and 12, but yeah, because the sun is just going from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere back and forth, and so you're at the equator, you're getting more sunlight than anywhere else.
This product contains nicotine.
Hey, is that you? Do we have a geography major out there? Isn't it the same all the time at the equator?
Well, it would make sense because the farther north you go, the more dark it is, or the more you know, the more it changes. So if you are right in the center, why would you make... I'm not talking anymore about science.
Because I lived in Hawaii for a while, and it seems to me like... I just remember boundless sunshine, more than 12 hours a day. But I think it's the same. Anyway, 312-981-7200 if you want to say hi. Goodbye to Loyola. What a tough game that was for the Ramblers to lose to... what was it? Bradley they lost in the semifinals of the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. A lot of us were hoping, thinking, praying that they'd do some March Madness again, and if nothing else, get to the tournament. they don't have the same players they had last year, so don't figure them for the Final Four. But now you don't even figure them for the tournament. They're not going to get in.
Yeah, college basketball has kind of stopped being fun lately.
Spoken like a person whose team has lost the last four. You know, if Loyola didn't go, I would like to see them not go to Bradley. Bradley University in Peoria, Illinois, is a great basketball program and tradition that has not been very good for a while. They haven't been to the tournament in, like, I don't know, 16 years. And there's nothing, you know, Peoria is a Chicago Cubs town. It's a Chicago Bears town. And it's a Bradley basketball town. Bradley basketball is a big thing in Central Illinois. The rivalry with ISU is a big thing. And to see that program come back, well, I'm happy for them.
It used to be the great battles between Illinois State and Bradley in basketball. You were down there for that. What was the name of the coach, the white-haired coach? He did some TV appear then later.
Stan. Well, Tony Baroni was the assistant coach for, I was just going over the names of the coaches in my head the other day. They had
Dick Versace.
Yeah. Dick Versace and Tony Baroni. Yeah.
And then Versace was replaced by a Joey Meyer assistant.
Right. Well, they had Molinari.
Yeah.
Was a coach for a while.
And he came out of DePaul, I believe.
Did he? Yeah. So they had some good coaches, but they Jim Less coached team for a while, and he was one of their great players. But they just haven't been that good for a while. And so I don't know how good they are this year. Their record's okay. They don't have 20 wins, but they would if they won the Missouri. Well, let's see. They did win the Missouri Valley Tournament. I think they have 19 wins. Anyway, props to you and Peoria and Bradley University. Good luck to you all. And sorry that Loyola did not get in. What else to talk about a little bit today? I was with Steve. Did I tell you? I did, off the air, didn't I? That Brenda and I went to dinner over the weekend with Steve Alexander.
Oh, Steve.
And his lovely wife, Diane. And they're terrific people, and we enjoy their company. And I know
that
you...
Can I just say that might be the best impression you do right there?
Steve Alexander?
Yeah.
So... he's got a great voice.
There's a lot about your other ones.
And a great demeanor. And she's just delightful, too. And we have a lot in common. We were sitting there talking about movies. And we hadn't caught up with them in a while. So we were talking about the Oscars. And we said, well, what did you guys like for Best Picture? And they asked that to us. And I said, well, all I know is Bohemian Rhapsody was an embarrassment as a nominee. It was a fine little movie. But I was not a fan. And I thought it was pretty crazy that Bohemian Rhapsody even got nominated. Pause. Diane says, we watched it four times. And I felt so bad because, you know, without even inviting my comment, I kind of called them stupid. And they're not, and they didn't take it that way. But, you know, then I said to them, when am I going to learn to wait and see what other people's position on something is before I double down on my own? I said, what an embarrassment that is, that it's even nominated. Pause. We saw it four times.
Yeah, you're supposed to ask someone if they've seen something or heard something.
Well, what did you think of it before you then say?
Then you can say, if you disagree.
Really, huh? And then kind of wait for it to come around. But, you know, I'm being a talk show host here, so I'm like making this bold statement. It was the worst movie ever made. People who see it. I didn't say anything about the people who saw it. I just said, I thought it was a terrible nominee. We saw it four times. I wish that hadn't happened.
By the way, I've seen it three.
Well, they say they had a movie pass that enabled them to see movies more than once. Like they could see three movies a week or 10 movies a month or something like that. And so they just went and sometimes went just to see the last 20 minutes of the movie. You know, the Live Aid concert that Queen did. That is worth the price of admission. The first 90 minutes, not so much. But that's just me. We don't need to talk about Bohemian Rhapsody anymore. But it was not my cup of tea. I'll say that. The news click over the weekend was this. Zounds. Jussie Smollett has been indicted on 16 counts. I believe that is the first time in the history of the news click we use the word zounds. You had three choices. Good, throw the book at him. B, that sounds like a bit much, 16 counts. Or C, I still think he's telling the truth. 1% of you still believe Jussie Smollett, and 82% of you said good, throw the book at him. The new news click is going to be about, what is the new news click about? What's the topic on that? I didn't give you the new news click. Maybe we'll do it on the
idea that you will be charged per mile driven rather than per gallon of gas you buy. Illinois is yet going to look into this. And an advocate for that's going to come into our studio. So if you're listening to me in your car right now, you go buy gas, you pay 19 cents a gallon on tax. At least that's the Illinois portion of it. And that has not gone up in years. Since your car is more fuel efficient than it used to be, probably, you're paying less in gas tax than you used to. Maybe not enough, especially considering the status of the roads. And if you're driving a hybrid or an electric car, you're not paying that road tax, if you will, at all. So it's about time we found a way to tax people with those fancy electric cars, or all of us who are just not paying enough for the roads. So let's tax you with a GPS device per mile driven. That way, if you use public transportation, you're not using the roads. You shouldn't have to pay for them. If you do use the roads, you should. A lot of problems with this. We'll talk about that after two with someone who's going to persuade you that it's a swell idea. I want to talk to Peter. You're on WGN. Hi, Peter. You're on the air. What's up?
Good afternoon.
What can I do for you?
I have the geography answer for you.
Oh, no kidding about daylight savings, and is it the same? Yeah, so talk to me.
Well, if you're on the equator, the sun is right on the equator on the spring, you know, and fall. Autumn equinoxes, right on the day of spring and the day of fall.
Yeah.
But in the winter, it goes down south of the equator. And in the summer, it comes up north of the equator. So if you're on the equator, the only time the day is equal, 12 hours on, 12 hours off, are the two spring and autumn equinoxes.
Oh. Oh. Well, that's not what I said at all. Try and contain your amazement there. Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, then what is the deal? There's something about there's something about the people on the equator that is, you're sure about this, right?
Yes.
What's your estimated probability of accuracy on this, Peter?
Probably up there around 100%.
Yeah, all right, fine. Because I was in the low 60s myself, but I guess 100 is going to be 62 here. Listen, Peter, I appreciate your help. Thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome. Take care.
Yeah, have a good day. Hi, Denise. It's John, and you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hi. This was about 3 years ago. We went to Costa Rica, and we were almost in Panama. We were 8 miles from the Panamanian border, and at 6 o'clock in the morning, it was light, and at 6 o'clock at night, it was dark for the whole month.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how it went.
We...
It was very boring.
Yeah, but you were in Costa Rica, so it could... Yeah,
yes, but we were in the middle of the jungle. It really, we weren't in a big town at all, and there was literally nothing to do. I read 7 books.
Well, thanks for the phone call. Thanks for the heads up, Denise.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, bye-bye. Have a good day. Has anybody paid attention to, we just mentioned this on Saturday's show briefly, but did you guys follow at all the fake Melania story over the weekend?
I did see those pictures.
What did you think of those?
It didn't look like her.
It really did look like a bad stand-in, didn't it?
It did. And as much as I want to believe that there is no such thing as a fake Melania and that's just preposterous, it was almost hard to just accept that is her.
If they had put a stunt double in for Melania for the appearance with the president in Georgia over the weekend, that's what one would have looked like. Actually, they would have gotten somebody that looked more like the first lady than the first lady as she was photographed.
Has she ever walked ahead of him?
There was that. There was the height difference because she had flats on. She had her Adidas sneakers on. You know, ever the fashion statement. She looked terrific. You know, you can argue amongst yourselves that the first family looked appropriate for the occasion, but that's beside the point. The conversation here was just, did she look like what you're used to? And this may also be a function of being a highly photographed, highly attractive person who's always used to being made up in heels, you know, slenderizing, tailor-made outfits, blah, blah, blah. You know the Melania look.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's dressed more casually. She's got sneakers on. Her hair is done a little bit differently. Her cheeks looked jowlier. you know, that was not an unattractive looking woman standing next to the president, but it didn't look like a supermodel.
It almost looked like she had a scar on her chin.
She did not look like herself.
No.
So if they had used a stunt double, then this would have been photographic evidence of that. But they didn't, right? We all know that. We all know that. So I don't even know what the thrust of the conversation is. It's not a negative. It's not a hate-filled conversation about the Trumps in my mind. It's just a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever seen a picture of yourself and you go, boy, that doesn't look like me?
Oh, all the time.
So maybe that's what we witnessed here. But it was just a very strange, I put it this way, trending over the weekend amongst all of the news that there was that. That was way up there. Was that really Melania Trump with the president? Now, the president had kind of a, as he always does, doesn't it? Just kind of an odd last 3 or 4 days when they were down in Georgia. He was signing, he was autographing the Bible. He was signing the cover of Bibles for people that would hand them to him. And it reminded me of tossing out rolls of paper towels to, what was it, hurricane or flood victims. And oh wow, I do got to take a break, don't I, Elif? Elif's looking at me like you got to stop talking, John. And I came away though with this: if you have a Bible and you want the President of the United States to sign it for whatever reason, and he's your guy, then that's on you. You know, if he want, you know. So I don't know that was a great disrespect to Bibledom. If that's what
Bibles
you have.
They were recording devices too, right? You'd record your family history. You'd record that you'd write a lot in the Bible.
And if the fact that the president signed it, and he certainly has been good for Christians in this country, makes it somehow special for you, I'm not here to judge, but it's just another example of the unorthodox things that this president does. So that's just part of the week that was for the president, or weekend. I see that we need to get into the newsroom here in just about a minute or so, actually less than that. So Dana, thanks for the call. He said sunlight is 12 hours a day year-round. Jen DeSalvo, you were clicking around. What did you see?
I was clicking around. At the equator, the daytime period always lasts about 12 hours regardless of the season.
Well, who said that on the radio?
I think it was John Williams.
One local talk show host. So at the equator, it's 12 hours of daylight.
Correct.
What's your estimated probability of accuracy of that?
I'm going to go with 100% because
the last guy that called in was 100% and gave me a different answer.
No. He gave you pretty much the same answer. There was a female who called in and said that it was different.
I heard him to say that it was less at different times of the year. Okay. So 12 hours a day of daylight.
And 12 hours of nighttime. And then
always
the sun
at the equator
never goes higher than 23.5 degrees north at the Tropic of Cancer. And that's during our summer. And then it goes negative 23.5 degrees south latitude at the Tropic of Capricorn.
Right.
And that is during our winter.
That is information I don't need. What I need is 12 hours.
12 hours.
Thank you. Steve, I said at the beginning of the show, this is the, we are just a few days, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday, we'll get above 54 degrees, and that'll be the first time since last Halloween, October 31st, that it was that warm.
56 the forecast on Wednesday, 66 on Thursday.
How about them apples? Isn't it lovely outside right now? Downtown Chicago, we've got blue skies, white puffy, white thin clouds, and a lot of sunshine. Hello. What was the current temperature again, Steve Bertrand?
38 degrees.
Yeah, it looks warmer than that out my window, and I hope it feels good where you are. By the way, this is also the first time the White House has held a daily press briefing, daily, my word, in 42 days, which is the longest absence for that in the Trump administration. 42 days ago, Sarah Sanders stood before the press. She's just been up there for a couple of minutes. I'm going to dial that in right now.
Was Cohen here at the White House and came into the Oval Office and asked the president for a pardon? Did it happen on the phone? Do you have a date?
Not going to get into specifics of things that are currently under review by the Oversight Committee and other committees. What I can tell you is that Cohen's own attorney stated and contradicted his client when he said that he was aware that those conversations had taken place. We know that Michael Cohen lied to Congress prior to his testimony.
They've been all over the map. They've been talking about those, what some say were anti-Semitic remarks by a congresswoman. They've talked about the economy and the tax plan, and now they're obviously talking about...
Just to put it on the record, because a lot of people in the country want to know, is there anything in the president's 2020 budget request that has Mexico paying for the wall?
As the president has stated a number of times, through the USMCA trade deal that we look forward to getting passed soon, that'll be part of how that takes place. John?
Thank you, Sarah. Two brief questions. Following up on John's personnel question, does the president have full confidence in Secretary Acosta, or is the labor secretary...
So they are covering a whole field of things, and so far everybody's been on their best behavior. I don't think Jim Acosta has had a chance to ask a question yet, but maybe it'll go off the rails then. So that's good to see that at least the White House and the press are having a conversation today. Steve, I was going to actually hand this story to you, but did you see the story about the statement from the LaCroix CEO? Do you drink LaCroix water?
No, I think I saw LaCroix was suffering, though, a little bit in the market, or what's going on?
Yeah, so it is down, and for a variety of reasons I'll get to here in just a second. I'm no expert on it. I'm just reading a story, but it's less about what's happened to LaCroix, the brand, and why it's less valuable as a stock right now, or its parent company, than the way they have been handling it, the statement they put out. So that's what I just wanted to get to. First off, big LaCroix fan. Who loves LaCroix water? I think it's a miracle. As much as I confessed last week to loving me some Chick-fil-A sandwiches, I'll tell you what, LaCroix water, it just seems like a win-win. A, you're drinking water. You're not drinking soda pop, but it's sweet and tastes kind of like a light soda. Wouldn't you agree? There's no calories. There's no caffeine. I don't know how they do it, but it's like, wow, I love LaCroix. The orange flavor is my favorite. I think Brenda prefers the lemon or the lime. We usually have a 12-pack out on the back porch staying cool, and I just think it's swell. There's an article that said that when that product first hit the market, people really loved it for the way I do, too. And where some people might sip a drink, a cocktail, a second cocktail, an after-dinner drink, they would sip LaCroix. One woman said that she beat her alcoholism in not small part thanks to LaCroix water. Not just one woman. It was a lady who wrote an article in a major publication, and it was all of that. And it still is, right?
I like it for my stomach.
When you need just like a little easy kind of bubbly water down there?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just recently started to, like, I used to detest it.
Why would you detest LaCroix water?
Because it tasted like nothing to me, really.
Not enough flavor? Or was it that it had that sort of metallic sort of taste
both.
To it?
Both. Yeah. Both of those things.
Yeah. This is a story that was in Slate. Times are bad for LaCroix. Last year, it came to light that the CEO of the brand, Nick Corporella, faced a pair of lawsuits alleging that he inappropriately touched two former employees. Then another lawsuit claimed that the all-natural flavored seltzer drinks contained some bad chemicals. They and the article say that's not true. Perhaps as a result, profits for National Beverage Corporation, which make LaCroix, are way down.
That's sad. I like it too.
I do, too. I do, too. A, we need to drink more water. This makes drinking water easier. And, you know, Americans just love to find ways to spend even more money on something they're already getting virtually free out of their tap, right?
Well, we like to, we have a soda stream. So we like to take the water out of our tap, bubble it up ourselves, and then throw our own fruit or flavors into it.
Does that work? I've heard people advertise or promote those. I never knew if they were really a satisfying substitute.
You can make them really bubbly and have extremely bubbly soda.
And flavorful, too?
Yes. They have all sorts of different, like instead of Dr. Pepper, it's called Dr. P.
But then are you putting sucrose in there then, too, or corn?
Those could be. Like today, I actually bubbled up my water and I used a packet of the Pedialyte powder to have electrolytes. So I have strawberry lemonade, SodaStream, fizzy water.
Yeah. I guess you can make it as healthy or as you want. Mm-hmm. But you could make a cola too, right? With sugar water in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So you like that, huh?
Oh, it's so good.
I guess it saves you money, too, right? Because you're not buying 12 packs of LaCroix or Coke or Dr. Pepper, right?
It does. And the SodaStream cartridge, to buy it in the beginning, I think it's like $40 or $50. But you can basically recycle them by bringing them to different stores that carry them and pay $14 for the cartridge. And it lasts you, like, I don't know, something ridiculous, like 64 gallons of fizzy water.
And do you put that on your faucet or on your refrigerator?
No, it's a separate machine that you
have. So you get a whole other gadget. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So LaCroix says, all right, we've had some trouble here and the value of the company's gone down. So the CEO put out a statement and it reads like this in part. We are truly sorry for these results stated above. Negligence nor mismanagement nor woeful acts of God were not the reason. Much of this was the result of injustice! Okay, I'm already worried about the company now. I wasn't worried about the company before. But when the CEO says that the value of the shares are down, and the reason is, I'll quote again, negligence nor mismanagement nor woeful acts of God were not the reasons. Much of this was the result of injustice. I don't even know what he just said. I would think it would be negligence nor mismanagement nor woeful acts of God were the reasons, but he said were not the reasons. Nor not means they were. It's a double negative. Anyway, much of this was the result of injustice. He does not state what the injustice is. But it sucks to be you if you're the CEO of a company, so you may feel there's no justice in that when the value goes down. And then he said this, managing a brand is not so different from caring for someone who becomes handicapped. Brands do not see or hear, so they are at the mercy of their owners or care providers who must preserve the dignity and special character that the brand exemplifies. Well, nothing could go wrong with a statement like that, eh, Mr. CEO? So he's comparing the bubble water that we love so much to handicapped people who are equally dependent upon their caregivers. Did he not run this by anybody? He then said, it is important that LaCroix's true character is not devalued intentionally in any way. Okay. National Beverage Corporation is and will remain, he wrote, the preeminent innovator that adds zest and authenticity to the sparkling phenomenon in North America. There's a lot of kinds of speak out there. One of them is ad speak. And I think when you're trying to sort of explain the value of your stock and reassure consumers and maybe investors that we're cool here, don't worry, I've got it under control, they don't need a commercial. They don't need, you know, fancy language that might sell the product. They actually need some data. So he gives them, National Beverage Corporation is and will remain the preeminent innovator that adds zest and authenticity to the sparkling water phenomenon. That doesn't help. You're like, okay, yeah, I still need more reason than that to invest. Then you're adding zest to the sparkling water phenomenon, dude. But then he did get around to some of that. He said this, additionally, gross margins were impacted by volume declines. Comparisons were further skewed by the adoption of the new tax act in the third quarter of the prior year, which includes credits and rate reduction adjustments aggregating $11.3 million. Nothing herein mentioned has detracted from the ultimate value and future of our dynamic company. That sounds like somebody else wrote that. How did that paragraph find its way next to the phenomenon of zest? But there it is. Next sentence. There is no greater passion than the kind that creates the wonderful refreshment and contentment described as unique. Okay, now that one sounds like somebody in China was told to say something, and they use their very best English, but they really aren't that fluent yet. Let's read that one again. LaCroix CEO, there is no greater passion than the kind that creates the wonderful refreshment and contentment, described as unique. Donald Trump could tweet better than that. That's just like a bizarre sentence. That's neither ad speak nor nothing. That's just a very strange sentence. He continued, no doubt, the sound and personality of the word LaCroix, coupled with the awesome experience of its essence and taste, is unique. One can be induced to purchase the cheapening price or giving away a product, but falling in love with a feeling of joy is the result of contentment. See previous paragraph. Chinese person using some sort of English translation software and not really getting it right. Finally, just ask any LaCroix customer, would you trade away that la-la feeling? No way, they shout. We just love our LaCroix. I am positive they respond this way each and every time. Whew. So I don't know what it takes to be a CEO of a big company, and I'm sure it takes things that I don't have, but I got this. I mean, if this is evidence of what it takes to run a big company, then I think you and I have a shot at it, because that's kind of crazy talk. Interestingly, though, Elif, do you see in our music queue from Saturday the haiku music bed? Because in reading this, it dawned on me that he embedded there almost inadvertently a couple of haikus. Go ahead and hit it. But falling in love with the feeling of joy is the result of contentment. I couldn't help but notice. Here's another haiku that he inadvertently put in there. Hit it, Elif. 3, 2, 1, woof. The adoption of the new Tax Act third quarter includes credits. Now, that one doesn't work as well, does it? Okay, now, the topic that we're getting the most text about on the show today is this idea that in Illinois, we're going to look very seriously very soon at taxing you per mile driven, not tax you for gallon of gas you buy, you pay a tax, although that will not go away. But if we need to get more revenue, instead of just increasing the gas tax, which a lot of people are avoiding or minimizing, we're going to start to tax you per mile driven. I'll tell you how that's going to work and how it will work well and how it will work badly. And the people behind this, the advocates, need to hear from you right after 2 o'clock. The text line includes these. John, if you're on the equator, what way does the water circle in your toilet? John, please say daylight saving time. It's not savings. Thanks so much. Yeah, I know that. I can't help myself. Hey, King John, wondering and waiting for SNL to do a bit about Jussie Smollett fiasco. What say you? They sure have had fun with the R. Kelly story. I don't know what's going to happen with the Jussie Smollett story, but they were on R. Kelly over the weekend. John, even for those who don't drive, they still benefit from the roadways, 100% by truck delivery services, police and fire, buses, cabs, and rideshare programs, so deal with it. Yeah, that's true. And John, a couple of you have pointed out to me, I said, Peoria, Illinois, go Bradley Braves. Sorry you beat our Loyola Ramblers, but if somebody did, I was happy to see Bradley win because Peoria is such a Bradley basketball town. I said, it's a Bears town and it's a Cubs town. But some of you said, hey, it's a St. Louis Cardinal town. Love Bradley, grew up there. Thank you very much for that text. Yeah, I think that's probably true. I'm not sure where the line is. The White Sox line really doesn't go that far south. It's a Cubs and St. Louis Cardinal line, and I would say Peoria is the line of demarcation. And probably...
It's an IQ line, isn't it, really?
Don't say that. I got family and friends down there. And I would say if Peoria had to pick one team, they'd probably pick the Redbirds.
Well, I'm not talking about the IQ of people who live there, but the ones who are Cardinal fans.
Oh, better. Yeah. Okay, now you're on safer ground.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Sometimes.
Here's John Williams.
I get those right, too. Talk about your value added. Hi, it's John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio weekdays from 1 to 3. Saturdays from 10 a.m. till 12 noon on social media. WGN King John. Listen for the Mincing Rascals podcast. Best in the city, said some folks who weren't me. In the next half hour, we'll visit with Tiffany Mickle, the co-founder of Appalition. This is an app that you can get on your phone. You round up your credit card purchases, and instead of giving it to a local school like they asked me to at my grocery store, say, it would go to a fund to help people get out of jail. It will be bail money for people. You are 9 times more likely to be found guilty of a crime if you can't get out of jail to get an attorney and get your affairs in order. 9 times more likely to be found guilty of a crime if you do not have the bail or bond money. Think about that. Plus, while somebody who may be found not guilty of the crime they're in jail for is sitting in jail for sometimes months because they don't have $1,000, and there's a lot of those people, who's watching their kids? Did their car get towed? I wonder if their employer is holding their job. We begin a spiral of difficulties for people that some people just are not in a position to manage. Not everybody has a friend like R. Kelly does who says, okay, I've got $160,000. So we'll talk about that a little after 2:30. But let's get after this thing now that we've been talking about all day today, at least on this show, and that is the idea that in Illinois, maybe instead of just taxing your gas to pay for the roads, we should tax you per mile driven. That makes sense, right? If you're using the road, then you should pay for the road in a way that's commensurate with how much you use it. At least that's how I read this. At the Metropolitan Planning Council, there's somebody who is the transportation director. Her name is Audrey Wenink, and she's in our studio. Audrey, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So is that the send-up? Is that what we should do, charge people commensurate to how much they use the roads?
Yeah, that's a user fee. People pay for what they use, so it makes a lot of sense. And we pay a user fee right now with the gas tax. You pay more when you drive more miles and use more gas.
So then why do we need to fix it or change it?
Because people's cars are getting more fuel efficient and more people are driving electric vehicles that don't consume gas at all and they don't pay any gas tax.
Yeah.
And so the amount of money we have is going down steadily.
Hybrids and electric cars, I guess, would impact that. But my guess is that more than anything else, it's simply that cars are more efficient and that we buy less gas per miles driven, right?
That's right. People are, if you get 45 miles per gallon, you have fewer gallons of gas, and that sales tax is charged per gallon.
So are we short? I mean, do we need to get more money, or maybe we should all just enjoy the benefits of having more efficient cars?
Well, if you would like to drive your car on a road, you need to have roads that are in good condition.
And yeah, so but I'm already paying a gas tax. Doesn't that take care of that?
Well, the gas tax, it, as we just discussed, is declining. And so while there is some money now, it's less and less. And we can forecast in the future as more and more electric vehicles get on the roads and gas mileage gets better and better, that revenue is going to be less and less. And our gas tax hasn't been raised since 1990. So it's not indexed to inflation.
I know there's a lot of questions people have because this is a new concept and a lot of criticism people have. A big one is that this is the government looking over my shoulder. Before I even get to that, I'll tell you another criticism I hear on the text line and when people have called in the past. If they live in a rural area, and a lot of people in Illinois do, we're not all packed like sardines are in Chicago, you have to drive a longer distance to the Walmart or to the school. So if it's miles driven, it would impact unfairly people outside of urban areas. What's your reaction to that?
Well, a couple of things. Right now, they already pay based on miles driven through the gas tax. If you drive further, you consume more gallons of gas. So honestly, that's already happening right now. And then secondly, there has been research that shows that the people that are in rural areas, they do drive longer trips, but they drive fewer of them. And people in suburban and urban areas drive more trips, but they're shorter. And actually, the distances overall driven by both are similar.
Well, that's a revelation, because if you said who drives more in a given week, I'd say the people in Manuka, not the people in Joliet or Chicago. About the same?
Yeah, there was a research study done in Western states, and that was the conclusion.
So they're trying this. So before we even go to Oregon, tell me how it would work then. How do you know how many miles I've driven?
Well, there's different options. In Oregon and some of the other states that have done pilots, they install a device into the vehicle, which can track the number of miles you've driven. But there are also very simple ways of doing this, such as having people take a photograph of their odometer. And so it's not
really.
There's a whole range.
Why would I want to do that? How about I don't do that and then I don't pay any tax?
You know, there's a range of low tech to high tech. And I think the reality is the privacy question can really be addressed.
What if I'm driving out of the state? I'm in Indiana. I'm not using Illinois roads.
Yeah, and it gets more complicated then. There's actually a pilot going on right now with the I-95 coalition. So I-95 in the East Coast goes through a number of states, and they've been doing some pilots to see how this works in terms of interoperability between states.
Does it know then if I'm out of Illinois, then it doesn't charge me?
Yeah, well, you know, the mechanics still need to be figured out, that's for sure. And I think the whole point here is if you're evolving to a new type of technology, you need to test it, you need to learn about it and do pilots and things like that. So
okay, I got another problem for you.
Yeah,
and I don't know that I dislike the idea, I'm just thinking out loud here, but somebody's driving through Illinois, they're not an Illinois resident, they're not going to have our transponder, they're using our roads, maybe they got a heavy car, what about them?
Yeah, I mean,
they fall through the cracks, we're just going to have to float them.
Well, you could keep like the gas tax for out-of-state people and then have a vehicle miles traveled or mileage-based user fee for in-state people. Those are things that other states that have done pilots have investigated and have worked on.
Are you neutral about this, or are you advocating for this?
We're advocating for this for a pilot to test it. There's no question that it wouldn't be something we would do overnight. We're not going to pass, you know, change from a gas tax to a mileage-based user fee for the everything overnight. It would be a transition process, and I think there's no way to know how it's going to work until you test it.
What do you say to the people that are worried about Big Brother?
Well, I mean, I think you look at the pilots that have gone on in Oregon. The Metropolitan Planning Council that I work for, we had an event just a couple weeks ago where we flew in the woman from Oregon who runs that program, the oldest pilot. And they explained all these questions were asked, and they explained that they use a third-party vendor that collects the data, and the data on where you've been is destroyed within 30 days. And if the police want that data, they have to use a warrant.
In our studio is Audrey Wenning. She's the Transportation Director of the Metropolitan Planning Council. By the way, Steve Bertrand is in the WGN Radio Newsroom. Hey, Steve.
Hello, and you might have just answered my question, I guess, and I didn't hear if you did earlier. I apologize. It was my understanding that you could track the number of miles driven without tracking the location of the miles driven, but you seem to say that no, there would be data on where you're driving.
Right, that's an interesting point.
You could use the telematics of a vehicle, too. There's, you know, vehicles are very intelligent now. And, you know, so there's various ways. The bottom line is there are various ways to do it.
I mean, you could collect just the miles driven, right? The odometer does that. So you could just do that electronically.
You know what I'm thinking, Steve, is Homeland Security. That is, they will know where you've called, but they won't know what you've said. The idea that they are watching our data use for national security upsets some people, but they're always saying, we don't have a transcript of what you said. We just know where you called. That may be an invasion enough for people, but I think the idea that they have all of those details is not true in the case of the federal government, and in this case, the state government only needs to know how many miles you've driven, not where.
Correct.
So do that.
This is tortured, but the state already knows how many miles we drive in our car when we get our emissions testing. You know, that is a... it's true.
Did you last get your emissions test?
Within the year.
Yeah?
I mean, you know, so they're not doing it every year, every month. I grant you that. But the idea that the state doesn't have the data, they do because they record the mileage when you get your emissions test.
Well, and I think the whole point, you're asking a lot of really detailed questions. I think people need to get experience with this. In Oregon, they did a pilot where people could opt in. They could volunteer to participate, so you weren't being forced to do anything. And the more people get experience with it, the approval of it was increased.
Lots of calls. Oscar, what did you want to say? You're on WGN Radio. Hi.
Hello. Other than this sounds like the most ridiculous thought-out not program, but if I walk on the sidewalk, is there going to be a tax on that coming up next?
I take it you're not loving this idea. Is that what you're telling us, Oscar?
Yes, sir. But and also, what about the bike lanes? We have all these bike lanes downtown. And are we going to get rid of the I-Pass?
Is that a concern of yours?
Yeah, I mean, I think the gas tax, which we have now, pays for roads. And bike lanes are on roads. And so that doesn't mean we're going to get rid of them. But I think transportation policy is such that we want people to do things that are most sustainable.
Do you want people to have licenses on their bicycles? And do you want to increase the fee for those? Bicycles aren't heavy. They don't damage the roads.
Correct.
But they take up road space. And that creates an expense for the cars then. I mean, should we think about that?
I would actually disagree that it... bike lanes do generally, there's a lot of evidence that really you can just narrow the auto lanes and you still get the same throughput for the vehicles. So I think there's a lot of myths that people have adopted that if you look at the data, it's actually maybe not what you think.
Hardest thing you're going to be up against, I'm not telling you anything you may not know, is that people are slow to change, especially when it comes to a new concept. I'm kind of an advocate for ranked choice voting. Explain that to people sometime when you've got 2 hours, and then they still won't like it. Our current guest is a very nice person, for crying out loud. Audrey Wenink is the transportation director at the Metropolitan Planning Council, and yet our texts go like this. Well, then remove the gas tax. Well, why not just raise the gas tax? That would be easier. Hey, please mention this! Exclamation point. This is another system to game us. And the praise just keeps on coming. John, how do you charge out-of-state drivers using Illinois roads? We addressed that a moment ago. Maybe you don't. If they have a mileage tax, then will they repeal the gas tax? I doubt it! Exclamation point. John, why then should I have to pay property taxes that go to school districts if I have no children in school? That's because if you don't educate the kids, they're going to steal stuff out of your garage, you big dummy. Okay, so you have anything to say about any of that?
I'm laughing.
Okay. Well, but this is something that you are proposing and not advocating for beyond what you said a moment ago would be, well, let's find out.
Right. Let's find out. I think the reality is we already pay a user fee to use the roads. The idea is ultimately shifting to a new mechanism for collecting money to operate our transportation system.
The idea is that you would be charged per mile driven, not per gallon of gas purchased. In the interim, there would be a hybrid where you would be doing both, pay a little bit more maybe in gas tax, but roll in a usage tax. You pay per mile driven on public roads.
Or maybe not. Maybe you have a subset of people that opt in and choose to participate in a pilot and then don't get a rebate on their gas tax.
Well, the idea is to raise more money, not less. I mean, if you gave me the choice, gas tax or use tax pick, I would pick the one that was the least expensive for me. That wouldn't help you.
Well, the idea is we would choose a rate per mile that would give us at least the same amount of money as the gas tax does now. But then ultimately, we haven't raised the gas tax in 30 years. So ultimately, we will need to raise whatever mechanism it is to get more money.
You know, we just don't think about it. I mean, like, if your kid said, hey, Dad, I want to go to the game, and they say, well, but the Wrigley Field's 40 miles away. Do you realize that every mile you drive is going to cost me money because there's a use tax, that odometer, click, 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 that's a nickel, kid? And then you, maybe the kid then doesn't go to the game.
But you pay that now.
That's my point, that we don't think about it that way now. We just go get gas. Here's some phone calls. We'll start with Mark. You're on WGN. Hey, Mark, you're on the air.
John, great to talk to you. Hi, Audrey. How are you?
Thanks for calling. What's up?
Third-party vendor doing the work. I'm going to mention one thing. Remember the parking meters. It's a boondoggle, John. There's just going to be more money spent to collect money that the program turns out, and the money's going to be wasted in the Secretary of State's office hiring more political appointees.
Okay, let's let her respond.
True, this is a new technology, and there would be a cost to use it, but it is totally different than the parking meter deal, which was a public-private partnership, and that's a totally different situation.
The big problem with that is that those guys are getting rich now, and we gave them the store. We got $1 billion, and we spent it in a year, and now we get nothing. What about this?
Yeah, there was a constitutional amendment passed 2 years ago called the Safe Roads Amendment, which put all transportation revenues into a lockbox, which means that money generated by the transportation system must be used on transportation purposes.
A lot of people are worried about that. Will it go to the roads per se and not the general fund?
Yeah, it can't go to the general fund. Because
will they then rob the general fund like they did with the lottery money for schools? Will they lob the general fund for the same amount of money so we really don't come up with more money for the roads? Do you see what I'm saying? We won't net out?
Well, it's transportation revenues are protected now. So whatever is generated, whether it's a gas tax or a distance-based PACs, it must be spent on transportation.
I appreciate you coming in. If people want to find out more or ask questions or just say hateful things, what's a good place for them to go to?
The Metropolitan Planning Council's website is...
Why don't you give your home address, too, because it would be easier for them to just swing by. I'm sorry, keep going.
It's metroplanning.org.
Go to metroplanning.org. By the way, listen, everybody, what she just said was, let's find out more. This isn't going to happen tomorrow. Given the way things happen in Illinois, it will take a while for it to happen, even if it's a great idea. Let's just hear it out. You'll have to come back in our studio sometime.
Anytime.
What's the next thing on the calendar for this, then?
The next event for this?
Well, I don't mean promotionally. Yeah. I mean, like, is the state going to consider this in the infrastructure bill?
Well, the state is thinking about an infrastructure bill right now. They're having some hearings in the House. There's a listening tour going to be going on in the state about the needs for transportation. And I think we need to remember, this is about having a transportation system that works.
But the bill that's proposed right now does not include tracking your mileage to pay for the roads.
There is no bill right now. It's just a conversation.
Audrey Wenig is the transportation director at the Metropolitan Planning Council. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Tiffany Michael is here. She's the co-founder of something called Appalition. This is a Chicagoan doing something amazing. Tiffany, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me, John.
What's Appalition?
Appalition is a web app. It's a spare change roundup web app that allows our users anywhere in the United States and now in Canada to round up the spare change from everyday purchases.
What do you do with that money?
So we donate that money to community bail funds and bail relief in communities across the country.
Community bail funds, those already exist?
Absolutely. So many grassroots organizations, a lot of policymakers and organizers decided, well, they realized that the cash bail system just didn't feel right. And it really meant that poor people were left in jail even when they aren't being charged with a crime.
Now, I just finished An American Summer by Alex Kotlowitz, who writes about a summer 2013 in Chicago's South and West Side and how many young men go to jail for doing bad things. Some of are in jail and they didn't do anything wrong. But if you're found not guilty, you're still going to sit in jail until you can post bail.
Absolutely.
And the chances that you will be found, I mentioned this earlier, I'll mention it again, I'm sure you know this too, the chances that you will be found guilty of a crime if you can't post bail are 9 times greater that you will be found guilty. 9 times more likely because you haven't had a chance to defend yourself, get an attorney, do whatever it is you need to do. You're sitting in jail. Now you appear for the judge and jury, and you may be found guilty.
Absolutely.
We don't want people to go to jail if they don't have to go to jail.
Absolutely.
Let's not put people in jail. And let's be just. If a person's not guilty, then they should be afforded every opportunity to demonstrate that, right?
Absolutely. And people spend almost sometimes years in jail not even having been charged with a crime.
Yeah. I'm thinking of R. Kelly, right? Somebody wrote a check for $167K.
Yeah.
So he's out, right?
If you are rich and guilty, it's better than that being poor and innocent.
So these local bail charities have existed before your app.
That's correct.
Where does the money go? To all of them? To one of them? To your own fund?
So initially we were really inspired by the work of National Bailout. It's a national coalition of community bail funds. We noticed in May of 2017, they were doing a lot of grassroots fundraising, using a lot of the existing social campaign, fundraising apps. And they were able to raise a good amount of money. And my co-founder tweeted out, hey, wouldn't it be cool if there was an app that allowed you to round up your spare change?
At my grocery store, they say, do you want to round up? And I do, and it goes to a local school.
Yes.
But that's at the point of purchase, and it's at that one store for the school they've picked or the charity that month. This is different. This would be for every credit card transaction.
Absolutely.
Well, what if I use my credit card 5 times today?
Yeah, we would really appreciate that. but there is, we have a lot of controls within the app that allow you to pause, resume. We actually do have a lot of low-income users, which is really cool. We have users across the demographic spectrum, and they are able to control how much they donate.
But see, I don't know if I want to give $10 a day, say.
Yeah.
And I may use my credit card 10 times on a given day.
Yeah.
If it was $9.01, I've almost rounded up a dollar, right?
Yeah.
It's not to the nearest dollar, it's up, right?
Exactly.
Which is sometimes going to work against you. If the purchase was 99 cents, you're going to get 1 penny.
Yeah.
But that's okay. You're going to round up. But if I rounded up and it was a few dollars today and a few dollars tomorrow, I'm thinking, hey, I'm in, but I don't know if I want to be this much in.
Yeah. And so, and that's the reason why we make it super easy for users to pause and resume at any time. We also make it super easy for users to control which funds they give to.
How much money do you get per month per person?
On average, about $18 a month.
And I presume that's a threshold people are comfortable with. They're agreeing to do that.
And actually, it's been amazing. Some people are like, take more money. How can I double my contributions? And we're working on ways to make that happen as well.
Maybe we wouldn't need this if people just wouldn't do bad things and go to jail. I mean, talk to me about the notion that there's not a lot of sympathy for people who are at Cook County.
Absolutely. And it's actually one of the reasons why we've been really blown away by the generosity of people. And a lot of people get it when we weren't sure that they would.
But talk about that concern. I mean, maybe I'm actually helping put a criminal back on the street.
Yeah. So what we're about is due process. So we don't want people to sit in jail when they haven't been charged with a crime. And that's what happens way too often. So something like 80-90% of people, all the people who are sitting in Cook County Jail, have not been charged with any crime.
Haven't even been charged?
Hasn't even been charged.
I was talking about them being not found guilty. They haven't been charged?
Exactly.
How long are they in Cook County?
Several months, sometimes years.
Because they don't have $1,000?
Exactly.
What's the amount that they usually need?
Around $1,000, but it ranges. Sometimes it's a couple of hundred. Sometimes it's been as high as $25,000.
Does that bother you, though, that sometimes a person will get out and then commit a crime while they're awaiting their hearing?
Yes, but that is not the problem I'm looking to solve. So we're looking to make sure that people who haven't been charged with a crime don't sit in jail.
Yeah, more to the point, it bothers you that people are sitting there who haven't even been charged
Yes.
or who may be not guilty at all.
Yep.
And sometimes charges aren't even drawn up. They're dismissed. And then that guy says, okay, I've been in here for 3 months.
And now my life is...
Where's my car?
Exactly.
Where's my kids?
Yep.
Where's my job?
Yep. Exactly.
Maybe we should... I don't know what the answer to this is. You've thought about it more than I have.
Yeah.
But maybe we should rethink the bail or bond system anyway.
Absolutely. And that's why we worked with community organizers and policymakers who have spent years on this. I think Cook County has actually recently done a lot of reform to its bail system, as well as a lot of other cities and states.
How do you determine who gets the check?
That is completely determined by the community-based organization. So each organization has their own rules. Some of them have some rules like misdemeanors only. Some of them set a certain amount, a limit.
I guess they could even do it randomly if you think everybody's innocent until proven guilty. Then
Absolutely.
We'll treat everybody the same. But you could do it merit-based, like some cases seem to have more reason to let this guy out than others.
Absolutely.
Again, that's not your problem to solve.
It's not. And I think we have following a model that we think a lot of technologists should follow, which is like build the tech and let the policy people, let the organizers, let the people who are close to the problem actually drive the policy change.
Tiffany Michael is in our studio. This is I like your resume. Tell us where you grew up and where you went to school. Just walk me through
you. Yeah, so I'm a Chicagoan. I love Chicago. It's the best city in the world. So I grew up, I spent the first half of my childhood in Evanston, North Suburbs, the last half of my childhood on the South Side in Chatham. Started as an English major, interned at an organization here in Chicago, taught myself to code, worked as a software engineer for many years. Consider myself really lucky in that I'm an engineer during a time where software is eating the world. And so have spent a lot of my energy thinking about how do we use technology to solve community problems.
Whitney Young grad?
Yes. Actually didn't graduate. I have my GED.
You have your GED?
I do. I can speak a lot about the education system.
So all of this, and then you went on to Fisk, right?
I did, yeah.
And you know how to code, but you got a GED because
Yes.
of something with your, what was going on at Whitney Young and you.
Yeah, so as a teenager, I was really frustrated that what I was learning in the classroom didn't seem to be preparing me to solve the problems that I saw every day. So I moved from Evanston to the South Side of Chicago when I was 9 years old, a really formative time. It was a moment where I realized, whoa, like, your quality of life is greatly determined by the zip code
you live in. Amen to that. But what's the difference between life for you in Evanston versus Chatham?
Wow, I just got to see a completely different way of life. The over-policing, the food deserts, the I was lucky enough that I've always gone to gifted schools, but I had friends who weren't in those schools, and they sometimes didn't have books.
Why did your family move to that neighborhood from Evanston?
To buy a home. So we were renting in Evanston, and we moved south to buy.
Yeah. But then you had a closer look at the struggles some people have, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not that Evanston doesn't have its own problems, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
John, spell the name of the app, please. Well, that's good for you. So the name of the app is?
It's Appolition.
Appolition. So app is an app.
Yep.
I think we spell that with two P's, APP.
Yep.
And then Olition.
Yep.
Why do you call it that?
It's a play on the word abolition, which it means to end slavery.
Huh. Really? Now, that's an interesting turn of a phrase. Why that? What does that mean?
Yeah. So the criminal system has in many ways become a new form of slavery, particularly for black and brown Americans.
I wonder if that's the best tack to try and get people to donate money.
Well, so the branding was ended up being brilliant and really important. So Appolition's kind of catchy phrase. People get it right away.
Yeah.
When you say it, they're like, whoa, I understand what it is.
Abolition, Appolition.
Yep.
Maybe they do, maybe they don't. That is, if I want to donate, maybe I'm not even going to concern myself because you hear about reparations, you may hear about abolition. I understand that conversation. But maybe it's best I don't even concern myself with that. What I want to do is provide somebody an opportunity to get out of jail because they don't really deserve to be in jail, but for $1,000 they don't have.
Yep.
I mean, that's me being neutral about the issue too, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Lots of calls, lots of texts. Let's pause here for just a minute. It's 2:48. The phone number is 312-981-7200. So this is, I presume the app is free?
It is. Absolutely free to use.
Go to the Apple Store, to the App Store,
rather. It's actually
rather.
A web app. So you can go to appolition.us, appolition.us. Any device, any browser. Link your bank account or credit card, any funding source.
Oh, that's right, because it's really not necessary for it to be on my phone per se.
Yep.
This is actually going through my credit card, if you will.
Absolutely, yeah. And we work with third-party services to make that connection, so we're not holding on to your credit card info at all.
How much money are you all generating a month, then?
About $30,000.
How's that going?
It's going really well. It's going really well. And so the all of the organizations, so we started out with National Bailout, which is a coalition of 19 organizations, community bail funds across the country. We've since expanded and onboarded several other funds. So we now have an organization called Chicago Community Bond Fund. And of all the money that gets raised, we donate 85% of it.
Do people care where they go? Can they tag a geographic area?
They can, which has been really cool. So a lot of people have been like, hey, I'd like to support a community bail fund in the city of Chicago or in the city of New York, and they can actually choose that within the app.
Community bail fund. I'm hearing that phrase for the first time.
Yep.
Shame on me, huh?
Well, so it's a whole new world. I'm learning so much as well. Like I said, I'm a technologist, so I don't know a whole lot about policy, but it's been really exciting to be able to use my gifts to make change.
Okay, Appolition. You can go there. If I was going to go there on my, say, iPad,
yep.
I would type Appolition.
Yep.
.us.
Yep.
Dot anything else or
that's
I'm done?
It. That's it.
Dot .us. So yep. It's a dot .us yep. URL. Tiffany Michael, stay right here. John, this is the best idea ever. I'm so supportive of this. It's fair and compassionate. Please tell Tiffany she's awesome. Sign Mary. But several of you said, hey, you cannot sit in jail without being charged. That's just not true. What's going on there?
That is accurate. I think something like 5,700 people are in Cook County right now.
For how many hours, though? 48 hours or something like that?
Several days and weeks. Like I said, there have been people who major high-profile cases of young people who were in jail up to 2 years, not even having been charged with the crime.
But even then, say if you're charged and then you're awaiting your
trial. Yep.
You could still post bail and get out before your trial, correct?
If you can afford it.
Okay, and in either case, I guess these funds could bail somebody out.
Yes.
So here again, you don't really concern where in that process
yep.
it takes place.
As long as it's pre-trial. And I totally understand. I think there are a lot of people who had the privilege of due process. And so they're like, what? If I get arrested, if I haven't done anything wrong, of course I'm not going to sit in jail. Well, that's your reality because that's privilege. There are lots and lots of people who get arrested and are scared that they'll never go home, whether or not they did anything wrong.
Can you remember the last thing you bought that stayed looking as good as the day you bought it? Buy the Yard maintenance-free outdoor furniture will retain its charm and beauty for decades. Make this the year that you invest in your forever furniture from Buy the Yard. Visit one of Buy the Yard's indoor showrooms in Vernon Hills or Yorktown Center, where it always feels like summer. Stop painting and staining old outdoor furniture. You know there are things you'd rather be doing than that. Visit buytheyard.net. And request a free catalog. Okay, so the app that you folks have developed is called Appolition, Appolition. And you and I were just showing me how to sign up on my my MacBook here.
Yep.
During the commercial. I pulled out my phone, and you said, rather than going to the App Store, this is maybe a misnomer for me. I've been thinking I go to the App Store. You don't go to the App Store.
No, it's a web app. And that was intentional. So we could have built it native for iOS or for Android. When we launched, we wanted to make sure it was available to anyone, whether or not you had a smartphone, whether or not you had a specific kind of smartphone. So
it's really just a website you go to, and you enter your credit card information. And then when you use that credit card that you've entered, it knows it. It rounds up. That goes to your fund. You give it to local organizations that provide money for people to bail themselves out of jail.
That's
Do those
correct.
People ever pay the fund back then?
Absolutely, absolutely. So once the person's trial is over, those funds go back to the community organization, the fund, and those funds are recycled. So that's the really cool thing about these funds.
Wait, I want to make sure I heard the answer.
Yep.
So if you pay to bail somebody out of jail, you give them $1,000, they're out.
Yep.
They show up to court, that $1,000 gets refunded, is that correct?
That's correct, and it goes back to the fund.
Back to the fund, not to that person.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell people about this?
Yeah, we're really excited. I think this is an issue that impacts everyone in the world. If you care about justice, if you care about due process, support us. Go to appolition.us. We, in about a year, have been able to raise about $200,000 and have helped to bail out about 102 people.
I hope I'm not confusing things. Ed, you're on WGN Radio. What did you want to say, Ed?
Well, just to be clear on this, you're keeping 15% of the money you collect for overhead. Is that correct?
That's correct. So we use
15%. Okay, second thing is, you cannot, in Cook County, within 48 hours of being arrested, you have to be brought before a judge.
Okay, I'm short of time. Everybody is saying that. What do you say to those people that say that?
That is not the reality. Again, I'm not a policy person, but there are lots of people. Now, again, there are certain things like continuations and complications that prevent that from happening. But there are lots of people who are sitting in jail who haven't been charged with the crime and who are awaiting trial.
Thanks for coming in. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, John, for having us.
Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, how are you?
Okay, John. I was listening to your gas tax person.
How about that?
And it was very interesting about talking about how electric vehicles have thrown off the amount of tax collected.
I was thinking about you.
Well, it's funny you say that. 2 weeks ago, we were on vacation, a couple weeks ago, rented a car, and we said, well, we got to pull over and get gas. And my seven-year-old goes, what do you mean by that? What are you talking about? We're going to go to a gas station. She says, well, what's that?
Oh, no.
And it's just interesting to put it in perspective because the last few years of her life.
How many miles can you get on your electric car?
Mine's 236 now. They just upgraded the software. So
what was it before?
208. And that wasn't enough to get me to Palatine and back, remember? Because when it's really cold, it doesn't really go 208.
Can I ask you a question about your conversation with your daughter? When you explain it to her, you say, we don't want to run out of gas because it's the time we ran out of electricity.
That's right.
Did you explain that to her? Because didn't you once run out of electricity with her?
We did. We ran out of electricity, but it's that's a very different story than just going to a gas station because it's actually harder, it turns out, to find electric charging stations than it is gas stations.
That's a different version of the videos I've seen where they give a record player to 19-year-olds and say, make this work, or a rotary phone.
Yes.
They have no idea.
It's so funny, isn't it?
Literally how it operates. But What's a gas station? That's a new one on.
Yeah,
I know. I was chuckling. I thought, oh my gosh.
I'm going to tell you, Rex Tillerson's not very happy about this conversation.
All right, what's the best thing you're going to do today, Mr. Khan?
The best thing we're going to do today is give away tickets to see the Hawks take on the Knuckleheads, because that's a very important. They got to win everything now. They're on a bit of a roll again, so yeah. We'll find out about that. And then John Cass is going to join us a little bit later on to handicap the mayor's race as well. I saw Rahm Emanuel today.
Oh,
yeah.
Just ran into him?
No, he was on Windy City Live with us, wishing Valerie Warner a very, very happy birthday. Oh, and
nice.
He's giddy, man. He's out of his mind. He is. He was like doing shtickle, and he was like, he doesn't care about anything anymore.
That should be a warning to the people that want the job. The guy leaving, this is the best day of his life.
Oh, it is. It's like he's graduating. It's like he went to college and medical school.
Right.
Which, you know, his family makes fun of him for not doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he, and now here he is. He
second semester, senior year.
Yeah, second, right. He's got all of his work's in, right? All he has to do is just make sure that nothing really wacky happens. And even if something really wacky happens, hand it off to the guys who are running those departments.
He's blowing off classes.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
All right, I got to go.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, John.